Hi, everybody. Good to see you. Give us a moment. Deva, can you hear me? Deva, are you there?
I can hear you.
Okay, I just wanted to let you know I got the email that you sent, but I was leading a retreat all week last week, so I can get back to you on it. I didn't want you to think I was ignoring it.
Oh, okay. Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. All right. So, if you're able to have your camera on, please put it on. I understand we can't always have our cameras on. Things are happening, going on. But if you can turn it on so that we can see each other. Veronica, you might need to hop off and then hop back on. Sometimes that can help. Okay, so we are here today. It's been a while since our last retreat. And it's kind of on purpose a bit to give you space after our intensives to process all that we learned and we moved through to be thinking about it, to hopefully be practicing what we learned. And then we come together for these intensives to answer any questions that have come up since we've learned the techniques. As a reminder, the technique we learned at our last retreat was the Choose Your Own Shadow Journey, where we looked for a memory and then worked with it. So the purposes of these intensives are to go deeper into the techniques, to get more into the details, to get more mastery, to answer questions, to see how it's going. And for us to really use this time in however you need it. My general loose plan for our time together today is to, I'm going to start off, probably predictably by asking you what's been resonating for you since the retreat. What have you been thinking about in terms of that choose your own journey? Technique, who's been practicing it? What have you been learning? What case studies do you have? What do you want to celebrate around it? We'll start the conversation that way. And I also want to hear if some of you listened to the additional demo that I sent. Listening to demos really helps. And then, if we have time after that, what I was thinking, we don't always do this in the integration sessions, but I was thinking it could be helpful for one of you to volunteer as coach and one of you to volunteer as client, and for us to see the technique in use again, and then to break down the different pieces of it. This is one of those. So here's what I want to say about this technique. I was noticing, as I was just hopping a little bit in and out of breakout rooms in our last intensive on it, whereas every single thing that I will ever teach you is meant for adaptation. For you to be creative, for you to bring, you can shift it this way and you can shift it that way and really use it to always coach who is in front of you. That goes for everything. That being said, this particular technique, the Choose Your Own Shadow Journey technique that we looked at last time, it does have certain rules. A few, not a lot, but a couple of rules that are important to stick to for the technique to kind of go as deep as it can go, for it to yield breakthrough and results. And really the biggest rule in it, or the two biggest rules in it, I should say, are number one, to keep on coming back to that question that I have written out for you in the like steps or the instructions, to keep on coming back to asking your client, if you could do or say anything from the real to the fantastical, and you knew that it would be okay no matter what's the impulse? The reason why I'm saying that's a bit more of a rule is because if we go back to everything that we learned about this technique is about reclaiming impulses. And not just any impulses, but impulses that have gotten buried under history and have one way or another become in the shadow, not okay, for, you know, for simple ways of saying it right now, right? And so the heart of this technique is giving full permission for your client to find and express and own those impulses, so that they can then integrate those impulses, whether the impulse is joy, whether the impulse is anger, whether the impulse is not caring, whether the impulse is to be really big, whatever it is, so that they can then integrate in their mind, in their body, in their soul, that feeling and the knowing that it's okay. And then use it in the present time in different arenas and experiences and situations in their lives, right? So that's why that's a rule. And then the second rule in it is not to be smarty pants and make connections, and to continuously remind the client, look through your eyes, and then feel in your body. Look through your eyes and feel. That is how they will find the impulse that was buried. It's not that the brain isn't working. It always is. It's part of all of that, right? But impulses come from feeling. They come from the body, right? If I was to say there's a third rule, I'll give you one more, is not to hang out in the bad feelings of the then and there, not to hang out in any of the victimhood or the feeling like there isn't agency or the hurt in the memory. You lightly, as we looked at extensively, right? You lightly touch in to get a baseline. And then you use all of the present resources. Okay, so that being said, I'd love to hear from you. What's been on your mind around everything that we looked at in our last retreat? What's been resonating for you? What's been moving through you? Have you been practicing either with each other or with clients? How has that been going? What have you been noticing? Or what have you been noticing in terms of what you worked on for yourself in that retreat as you've gone out into the world the last couple of weeks? Who wants to share? Or what questions do you have also?
I'd like to share. When we practiced in class, I thought it went well. And then I practiced it with somebody who is like a super composed and competent person. Mm-hmm. And I had a really hard time getting her to go into the imaginative and the fantastical. And I was like, oh my God, this is really hard. And then just listening to what you were just talking about, the body. So I was re-listening to the coaching session this morning. And when she was going back to the memory, which was like 10 years ago, so it wasn't like a childhood thing.
That's okay. But that's okay. I just want to pause.
Yeah.
moment.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be 10 years ago is fine. If it was a moment where she didn't get to express like an empowering impulse,
yeah,
it's a moment to work on.
And like I asked her, you know, what she was feeling in her body, and she just sort of like, oh, well, I don't know what I was feeling. And then she just kind of went on and on into the story. And I just was like, oh my, I just didn't feel like it went like how it was supposed to.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, so first, I always have to start with a celebration and an acknowledgement, right? First, yay for practicing, right? Mm-hmm. And willing. I mean, that says so much, Kim, about where you're at, right? So I just really want to honor that. And sometimes the practice just gives us more to learn. So be better next
yes.
time. So, and I'm so glad you're bringing this up because, okay, a little bit of a review and then a little bit of more tips. Remember, what we looked at in the retreat is the more smarty pants someone is, the more analytical they are. And I think we can add to this, like the more composed they are, you know, because then they're like very logical, you know.
Yep.
It's not that you can't lead them through this process. You absolutely can, but the setup is really, really important. Speaking to the resistance is really, really important, right? So with this client, you know, you might beforehand want to say something like, you are so smart and you know yourself so well. And also you're so logical and have this superpower of like getting composed, even when like so much happens, all of that is wonderful and is not going to serve you as we go through this, like make it a joke a little bit and
right.
serve you so much as we go through this process. Right. And then I would explain why. Right. And explain how all of those things also can help protect seeing what a deeper impulse is. Right. And then if you feel it's necessary, even after that, you can ask your client, you know, so what is this bringing up for you? What do you foresee? What fear do you foresee might be holding you back from actually getting to some deeper impulses, or you know, however you want to phrase it for that client as we go into it, right? So you might really just, for sometimes it's just speaking to the resistance, other times it's having a little bit of a conversation about it beforehand, and really prepping the client if you sense there's going to be a lot there, right? And now you have, like I said, when things don't go exactly how we want, now we have even more language for it, right? So, and you can say, you know, so like one thing I know is sometimes we think we don't feel anything, but really it's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Other times we're going to want to go into the story. You tell me as much of the story as you want to tell me now before we go into the process. Because when we're in the process, I want you to know, even though I am holding all of this, I want you to be fully expressed. The process isn't the time to tell me more parts of the story for the most part, because that can also be a distraction from the process, right? So sometimes we just really need to lay things out a lot before we go into it.
Yeah.
Does that land for you? And do you think that would have been helpful in this situation? I'm just going to turn a light on.
Yeah, totally. I was not viewing through the lens of resistance at all. So just hearing you talk about that is really helpful. And the she was definitely in the story in the process. Like, so yeah, prepping about the story and not being talking about that during the process.
Yeah. If you know you have a client that's a talker and like needs for you to know all the things, you can just tell them to get it out beforehand.
Like yeah. Yeah.
Right. And just be explicit, right? Because you want it to work for them. So just be explicit with all the pieces.
Yeah, that's really helpful. It you learn more actually when it's not going the way you
It's
want it
so
to.
true. It's easier to learn from, I don't want to call it mistakes, but whatever you want to call it, it's easier to learn
Yeah.
from that than when it just like
Yeah.
goes really well right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so glad you
Thanks.
asked that question. I think it's helpful for everyone and can be applied to any kind of process too. You know, maybe speaking to different pieces, but some clients might need a little talk before Befriend Your Fear, as an example, too, right? So just to know that it's always available for
Yeah.
us.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Who else? How has it been going? What's been resonating? Have you been practicing? What questions do you have? What's been on your mind? Kelly.
I had a similar question to Kim's. I've been doing it with clients and really loving it, and loving them seeing this impulse inside of themselves. But when it was really helpful for you to remind, like, to keep seeing it through your eyes and being in your body. I don't know if I got the words exactly right, but and then also just the preamble. It's helpful because I think I wasn't giving enough information beforehand. And then I had a couple of people who've just been in lots of therapy, so they know all the sort of prefrontal cortex things, and they start talking. And so it was just this continual, like, bringing them back. And we ended up having, in both cases, you know, they went in deep. And in the second one, it was more of a challenge. And I was like, we're going to have a chance. We can come back here. We can do more here. But like right at the end, it was like she'd gotten it. And then she wanted to flip the perspective. She'd been with the two people. And I remembered from when I was with Imbal and you were watching me struggle. I remember you said, look through the eyes of one of the parents. And then right at the end, like she just dropped in. And then she's like, but then if it were my mom. And I was like, ah.
Yeah.
So I just said we could do that in another moment, would be to go in. So I was just curious if you would suggest like going into the same thing or going into a different thing, or just like, how do you do it in layers? And then do you always give the explanation ahead of time of what we're doing and why we're doing it, sort of to help orient them to sort of, you know, where we're going and keep them in the process rather than in their heads?
So I always give, and I think I have it written out in those instructions, at least a little bit of a spiel beforehand, because people do need it,
yep.
You know, and I'm often, no matter what the process is, part of coaching is consulting and
yeah.
educating, right? So I am often before, if it's the first time that I'm doing a kind of process with someone, I am often beforehand just doing a little consulting on it, right? So if it's a Befriend Your Fear, I will talk about the importance of making friends with fear. I'm not going to give the extensive hours and hours training that all of you got on it, right, to understand as practitioners, but I am in simple ways going to explain that. Mm-hmm. If I'm going into this process, I am in simple ways going to say, you know, parts of ourselves get buried under history because we think that they're not allowed. And maybe in those moments they weren't, but as adults, we actually need all of our different parts, right? So I'm not going on and on and on, but I am giving the instructions, looking at resistance and educating just as much as I need to in it, right? That was one of your questions. I think the other question was about, well, if it would have been my mother, you know, like what to do there. So a couple of pieces on that for everyone. In case you've forgotten, what Kelly is talking about here is somewhere towards the end of the process. If you want, not always, I don't always do this again, right? But if you want, if it feels right and like the client can go to the highest version of the person who has, like, well, for lack of a better words, we'll say wronged them, right? Which is not exactly what it is, right? In all cases. If you feel like your client can pop into the highest version of that person's body in the image, and then see through that person's eyes the new impulse that came through the client, that can be a really powerful thing. Of course, it's not about that person at all, ever. It's about your client finding the love and the pride for deeper acceptance of themselves and the impulse, no matter who that other person is in real life, which is why we always want to say most of the person is in the corner of the room. You know, that's sometimes you, and this, you're popping into the highest, highest version. So what Kelly was just describing was she did this. The client went into one parent. It worked really beautifully. But then in the process, was it inside the process or afterwards?
It was like right at the tail end. She got the like seeing it. But if it were my mother, she says.
Right. There's the client was like, they're in the process and the client was, but if it was my mother, right, she would have hated it, or she would have still criticized me, or she would have thought it was awful, or she would have felt so badly about herself and ran away, right? Whatever the different reactions are. So I think there's a couple of different ways you could have handled it that would have been great. And I think one way was the way that you handled it, right? Like, not, don't go there, right? We did the work, feel into your body, what, right? Beautifully done. And especially if there isn't much time left in the session, that might happen, though I might give some homework around it. We'll come back to that.
Yep.
Another option, if there was time and space, you could have said, yeah, good point. And that's why you haven't allowed yourself to express this impulse. And so would it be possible, as we are still in this image, for you to go into the highest level version of your mother? Not because that's how she would ever react in real life, but for you to receive what you need from this. Right. And then if the client says, yes, I can, then you go into it. Right. And then if not, then you really acknowledge them for their choice in that. Right. So different ways you can handle it. If you don't get to do it in the session because there's not time or because they choose no, if you wanted, not necessary, you could give them more of a cognitive-based homework to write out what they would wish the response would be. And like in detail, almost like a fantasy, because that's another impulse, right? What they wish the response would be, to write it out. And then you could together in a next session, they might be able to do this for homework, have them see themselves, even if it's not in the mother's body or through the mother's eyes, like as an outside observer, see all of that, like look at the image and see all of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that is great. And to be clear, I didn't say, no, we're not going there. I mean, that was in my mind. I was like, wait, we just did the whole thing. But we were totally over time because she was doing what Kim had talked about. Like, it was very much, it took us a while to drop into the body and through the eyes part because there was a lot of talking and it was like the therapy talking. So we were quite over and I was like, oh no, we need to wrap. And then I wanted to get to the integration piece. So I did give her homework, which I'm not exactly, it wasn't as lovely as this, but I definitely gave homework and then just said, you know, feel into this. And if that's where we need to go next time, we can totally do that. So, okay, that's great.
Sounds like you held it really well, but I'm glad you asked. It's so great for all of us, just different ideas for it. Good. Who else? What wants to be shared or asked? Or spoken. If you haven't been practicing and it's because you've been a little nervous to practice, I want to hear from you too. Deva.
I haven't practiced because I've been working more with groups and thinking about like how would I use this in a group situation. But then I also kind of felt like I did it, not like sat down and fully did it on myself, but, you know, I shared a little bit about my experience with my assistant at my last retreat. And like, I was like, what is my urge here? What is like, what do I want to say or do? And I really wanted to be like, you fucking bitch. And I let myself kind of have that moment of like, okay, that's there. And then once I worked through a lot of the layers of my frustration and my anger, was able to more fully take 100% responsibility for like why I drew that situation to myself. And as an initiation, like, what did I learn on the deeper levels? But it really helped in thinking through this process of like, don't try to bypass like the real surface of like, I was so mad and so frustrated and just all the, you know, just all the things I wanted to say. And I know it would be good to like write it all down, but I had definitely an inner dialogue around it. So it's great.
Deva, I'm so, first of all, so well done. You're just, you self-coached so beautifully. And I'm so glad that you're sharing this here, because what you're speaking to is more application of the foundational principles that we learned at our last retreat around the importance of giving clients permission to acknowledge and then own their impulses. Right. So the process I taught you is kind of like this fancy, beautiful, like somatic, right? Like way of all the things. But what Deva just shared with us is just another beautiful, simple way of doing some of this work, which is to say, if, or the work for ourselves too, when we're self-coaching, which is to say, when we're working with a client and they've had a situation where they didn't respond in a fully empowered way, if it's, we don't have the time, or if we don't feel it's appropriate to take them through the whole process that we learned, we can still apply the foundational principles. We can ask that client, as Deva asked herself, okay, I'm giving you full permission here, right? Like, there's no shame on anything. What was the impulse in that meeting? Like, if you could have done or reacted or responded in any way, how did you want to? Right? And you can have a conversation about that. And that alone is so important and so empowering, right? And of course, you'd come around in the conversation to say, okay, so of course you wouldn't slap that person in the face, right? But as you allow yourself to just feel that that was the impulse, what words would you have wanted to use next time from, right? Or whatever it is. But there's a lot that you can do just by understanding the fundamentals and supporting clients to acknowledge what their impulses were, even just for the sake of acknowledging, so they don't feel guilty or weird or shame for having them, or just so that it doesn't get squelched.
Yeah, that was what was so helpful, is allowing myself to feel the impulse fully and take out the shame in the guilt that I think, had I not been aware of this process, I think I was like, kept trying to bury that because I had so much shame about how mad I was, and not, you know, that like, I did want to slap her. And then I was like, oh, that's so mean, and I'm being so horrible, and just letting me feel it and move through it all. So yeah, it was, and like you just said, to use it in current situations, that it doesn't have to be going back to something in the, you know, in the longer.
Right, it doesn't have to. Yes. Yeah. Really? We looked at that towards the end of our second day in the retreat. You know, I was sharing, we can use a version of this technique to complete the cycle of fight, flight, freeze, fawn, as well, so that we don't get stuck in all of that. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Wendy.
Oops, I was muted. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that I, for some reason, this technique really hit something for me. It's just, I find that it's so powerful to have that where you can change something in the past that as a, you know, young person or whatever, you didn't have the ability or the, you know, strength, whatever it was, or it wasn't acceptable to do it back then, and that you can reverse that. And I just find it to be very powerful. So I really appreciate learning this technique. And I did try it with somebody, and I think that it was, you know, it was something new and different, and I just am very grateful for this technique. So thank you.
I'm so glad. So a couple of things, Wendy. So first of all, I'm so glad, and I'm so glad that you're working with it, and I can feel how deeply, like you're saying, it's impacting you. I'm so glad you're touching, because we haven't yet spoken about today, which was a big thing we spoke about in the retreat, and just to integrate and remind everyone on the memory reconsolidation part of it, because the process, just as a reminder for everyone, it doesn't change what happened in history, but it changes our impression mm-hmm. of what happened. Right. And then when we make decisions in our everyday life, we're always pulling from short and long-term memory. We looked at, right? Do y'all kind of remember this? We looked at this. But if our impression of what happened changed, then when we're unconsciously pulling from long-term memory, we get to make better and more empowered decisions in the present. Right. So thank you for touching on that. And not to put you on the spot, but if you're willing, I'd love for all of our learning, and maybe for more of your own deeper learning, I'd love to hear maybe one or two things that worked really well when you practiced this technique.
It was a while ago, so I'm trying to remember, and I just don't have my notes, but I think what was good was that it was with my coaching partner.
I figured.
And what we we touched on something that just had never been brought up before, kind of thing. And we've been getting together every week for a very long time now. So it was, that was powerful for her to like express that part of her, and how she, and it was just how she came out of it in a more insightful way of what her being is now as a result of
I love that. I love that. And I love that she was able to look at something that she's, you know, you've spoken about so many things and probably around it, mm-hmm. and that it was able to give a different perspective and feeling. Exciting. Nicely done. Kelly.
I'm only going because nobody else has their hand raised, but I did have a couple other questions that had popped in. One, Wendy just reminded me that that a client of mine said like she was really struggling when we came on, and we ended up doing this whole reconsolidation technique and memory reconsolidation. And she said something like, this is like completely rewriting history in my favor. So it really serves me. And it was Wendy, your words just reminded me of that, because I had meant to share it in the group and had forgotten. And yeah, so it's really powerful to see that. And I guess two things keep coming up. And one is, and I think this is in part my shamanic training, where we kind of try to go back to source. But what I'm hearing you saying is we don't have to go back that far. And it could be a recent event connected to a fairly recent event. It doesn't have to be an early childhood, something in the womb that happened. It's really getting to the impulse that could be connected to all these other events in different ways. And then my other question is just related to kind of the best ways to give homework, because I've been guiding them to find kind of potent ways. And I've been finding that the homework is not landing flat, but I feel like they could do more. And so sometimes I'm adding on, and I'm curious if you have some ideas on sort of how to do that. And actually there's just one more thing, which is in watching the sample you sent out, which I so appreciated watching, and also having been the person doing the demo with you, like realizing mine was like this big, dramatic, aggressive thing. And this other one was like so gentle and kind.
So I wanted to send it as a different example.
Yeah, it was really great to have that contrast. And yeah, so I'm just curious if there's just any thoughts and sort of a sense of like what we want to be digging into, or if it's really like non-attachment, it can look any possible way. So those are my three questions.
Okay. I'll work backwards.
All right.
First of all, I mentioned briefly at the beginning of the call, and Kelly is mentioning again now, if you haven't yet watched the supplemental demo that I sent, it's less than an hour. I highly, highly recommend listening to it. It's a demo and then a breakdown. It will help you integrate everything that we're learning around the process. And also, as Kelly is saying, even though all the rules are the same, right, and the process is the same, that process had a very different feel than the demo that I did, that Kelly and I did with all of us, you know, for our group. And it will give you even more insight. So Kelly's question is, you know, do you know what you're looking for when you're going in? And I will share that yes and no. So because I'm a human, as we all are, and because I'm a smarty pants, as we all are, I can't not go into one of these processes thinking, oh, I really wish Kelly would find her anger in this, or I really wish, like, right, because that's what I want, right? So it's not that the thought doesn't cross my mind. That being said, what I've learned from all the work that I do, but I would say especially this process, is to be open to surprise and delight to whatever impulse comes up, because what is exactly right for the client just may not be what your filter is telling you is right for the client. There have been times where I've gone in and I've thought it would be like intense, ripping things apart and all of that. But actually, the impulse has been more to like love, vulnerability, like deeper vulnerability, and then love, right? I think in the end, it's always love when you get to the end of the process. Now, so all never be attached to outcome, always be open to whatever is there. Now we have to hold many things at once. All that being said, if you're checking your filters, check your filters, and you sense that a client is holding back from a less savory impulse because of shame or feeling like it wouldn't be allowed or not fully being in their body, but more because they're in their mind, then check in about that. I always, if I'm going to check in about that, I always ask myself 2, if not 3 times about my filters before I do. just because I do want to validate if what has actually come up is the right impulse for that client in that moment. I don't want to invalidate it. But if I really have that hunch, then I will. Does that resonate?
Yeah, that's great. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Okay, good. These are all great questions. So the second question was about homework. And I'm really glad I had on my list, if we don't talk about the difference between breakthrough and transformation, which I'm always pounding, and then, you know, I want to talk about it. So I'm glad that you brought it up, because the homework on this is the moving from the breakthrough to the transformation, right? Any time, whether it's a process like this or through just regular conversation in a session, when there is a breakthrough, a new idea, a new feeling, you all have heard me say this so many times, I won't go through all the things, right? You don't want to leave it at that. So you want the homework to be effective, somewhat consistent. And you do want to check in on it, you know. So tell me what's been falling flat about the homework.
Me, not, yeah. I thought you were.
No, because yeah. You mentioned that it's been falling flat.
Yeah, like, so I'll, because you ask about, like, in the guided process is something like, ask about next steps, right? So, and then see if they're willing, and if they're willing, then like, what's the next right step? So I'm really wanting to honor what comes up in the process around the next right steps. And sometimes it hasn't felt entirely connected. Like, and my intuition is just like, it's been a minute, but I'm just thinking of a couple of things. So I've ended up saying, that's great. And, you know, and then when we always complete with the homework and takeaways. And so when we get to that piece, like, I'll sometimes say, hey, what do you think about exploring this and that, you know, and giving them an additional thing. And I'm so sorry. I totally meant to ask this in the group, but now, of course, I'm not coming up with a specific example, but it was almost like so logistical. What they were thinking, it wasn't like depth of presence or process or anything. Does that help?
Yes. So, okay. So I think a good rule of thumb is inner homework and outer homework.
Okay.
So outer homework, you'll strategize together. It doesn't have to be a long strategy, right? But what is an outer action around the current situation that inspired the process in the first place, right? Because we're not, as coaches, like we said, we're not just going back to the past to look at, like, that's more the realm of therapy, right? Coaches, we are always working on moving a current situation forward. And if that means to dip back, like in a process like this or in whatever, right? So the outer homework is always going to be a specific action or actions to move the current situation further towards the goal that the person has. The inner homework is always going to be an integration, a deeper embodiment, and deepening of the new inner information that came forward, so that they can work all the somatic neural pathways, all the things, to feel safe and comfortable in this new part of themselves that they have recovered. So the inner homework can be going back to the last moments of the image that you worked on and really feeling what the power feels like, feeling what expressing yourself feels like, feeling what leaving, just walking away from a situation, right? If that's what happened, right? Feeling into that and practicing that. It can be writing from that place and why that's so important. It can be making a collage that represents it. but something, and a collage is great, but not a consistent thing, right? So maybe they work on the collage over a week or two, not just all in once, but you want something on the inner that is going to more deeply integrate and be consistent. Those are the two types of homework you're looking to give. And then you might give more as you continue to track and follow and work with it.
Great. That's so helpful. Thanks.
Okay. Good. I feel like the first question maybe wasn't a question, like it was already answered, but I don't remember what the first question was anymore.
Oh, just you're nodding very enthusiastically. So I'm going to take it as an affirmation, but it was about like, how far back do we need to go? And if it's a recent thing, and then they come up with something recent, like I'm really mad at the boss or this person who wronged me, which is one of the things that came up. And so it actually was just a few months back. So is it less meaningful or less, like in the shamanic healing work, going further back, but
yes. Yeah, so, I don't, okay. So no, never, nothing would I ever answer is the truth with a capital T, right? Just to say that my feeling is that while it is perfectly fine to do a situation from a few months ago, especially if the client, if that's what they want to do, if you can find something that reaches a little farther back than that, it doesn't have to be, like you said, like from the womb or when I was three, right? Or even when I was 15, but if you can find something a little bit like formative, and when I say formative, I mean, it could be formative in your career too, which was in your 20s, right? It will probably be more helpful to go further back than a few months.
Okay. That's great. Thanks.
Yeah. Good question.
Thanks for all of that.
Tina.
I actually have a few questions. A couple of questions came up during my practice session with a sacred depths person. And all right, so this, I'll ask you what's the simpler question first. If you could, when you say this has legs, how would you simply define this has legs? You know, you could work with it.
So first of all, doesn't fall into all the things we spoke about, that this might be like a bigger trauma that the person isn't, you know, it's not in our scope in that day to go to, right? So that's one piece, just as a reminder for everybody. But that's a good question. Like, what, how do we know if it has legs? I think the best, I'm so glad you're asking it because it just helps me further articulate. Do we feel like there's an emotional charge there, right? Not like, it doesn't have to be that there's like so upset about something that still happened decades ago and that it's consciously impacting them now. That's not what I mean by emotional charge. But as they describe it, do we feel, oh, there was an emotional charge when that happened? And it feels like, from what my client described, there was a part of themselves that didn't get expressed in that situation that they could really be using in their life right now or in their current situation right now. That means it has legs. Even more so than the emotional charge, I would say, oh, it feels like there is an impulse or a part of them that didn't get used there that they could really use now in this situation.
Okay.
How does that land for you?
Yeah. I mean, normally I can sense it, but to put it into words, I was like, I don't know. I'm going to ask Joanna. So, the next thing is, I actually have three questions, so I'll try to be quick with this one. When you're doing the befriend your fear technique with someone, do you feel like that you're in a relationship with them for a while before you decide to use that technique with them?
Yeah, this is not the first time I've been asked the question. So the answer is no.
Okay.
So long as I feel that, so some of you have seen me model this in big groups where I've met the person the first time and I'm asking for a share, and then I take them in to the process. If I have created a tight container, if I feel the client is willing to go there, I won't wait a long time. Now, a part of that equation is that I also feel very, very comfortable with the technique. So if you would have asked me this question 6 months into doing it, or maybe a year into doing it, maybe my answer would have been different than it is now, which is to say, just keep on practicing, 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 practicing. And yes, when you feel really comfortable with it, if the conditions are right, it can be done early on.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you.
Yeah, good question.
And then the next question was an observation that I made. When you were coaching Kelly about her director, and then Kelly just mentioned something about somebody's mother, and you mentioned it too. So, like, we'll just label her director or that her client's mother the offender somehow. You know, I don't know what to label.
Yeah, not exactly the right term, but yeah, that's a better word. Yes.
And then label our younger self, I guess, the victim at the time, or however we perceived where we were victimized, just for lack of not knowing another word. Why have us go into the higher self of the person who did the offending? What does that do, like, versus going into our own higher wisdom, being that we're the one that perceived whatever they did?
Great question. So again, just as a reminder, we're not always going to do it, because sometimes it's not going to be appropriate to do it because it's not going to feel right or safe enough to do it, right? So that's one thing. That is a extra flourish if it feels possible and appropriate. The reason is because in the then, when the thing happened, the reason why the impulse wasn't expressed was because it didn't feel safe to express it. We thought that we might lose love, we might lose respect, we might lose shelter, right? If we're really little, we might lose a loved one. It might make them self-combust from, right? So that's why we didn't go with our impulse, because there was like a big survival thing at stake. So in the process, right, it's like, so the impulse is expressed, right, and it's felt. Sometimes then, to like top it off and complete it, to go into the highest self is about now get the validation, know that it was even more okay, right? Like that it is okay. It is okay. It is okay. It is not shameful. You will not lose love. You will not lose a loved one. That can kind of like help complete that expression of the impulse.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. I just have to play it back a little more later to try to make it make more sense to me. I guess because in the instance of Kelly from that demo you did, she was angry with him for cutting her, and I guess whatever way he spoke to her about it was also adding fire to her anger. It kind of seems like he did the wrongdoing to a certain degree, and her perception was the other piece of it. So I guess I had trouble linking his higher self to the whole.
I'll put this in a different way that might maybe is more simple. The going into the higher self has nothing to do with how that person may or may not actually respond. But in the process, in the fantasy, it is about getting the love and the acceptance for being in the impulse.
Okay. Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So there's one thing to like allow yourself to be in the impulse and express it. Mm-hmm. And then there could be a second piece of like, and I know I'm loved and validated and accepted and not left alone in this impulse too.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah. Those are great questions. It looks like Inval has a follow-up from something that we were talking about. I was talking about with Tina.
It was the first question, and something about is there a part that they can use? Sorry, I don't have more. I'll listen to the recording.
So Tina was asking about the how do we know if a memory has legs? And I was saying it has legs if, as we are hearing our client share about the memory, we sense that there is a part of them that didn't get used in that moment or that got buried. And of course, if it didn't get used or buried, it is a part that they can and should be using in the present. Yeah. Good. Thanks for clarifying. Vlada.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I have something that's coming up about a professional situation that's definitely having legs. And I was feeling that I could self-coach on it, but I could use some guidance. It's about, and I fully understand it's about a container that I didn't know how to handle many years ago, and it's coming to a similar situation now. So in my choir, I oftentimes come to places where some of the members become more involved, they become more like collaborators, and they willingly put in more of their brilliances in, which shifts the dynamics between us. And and it happens sort of gradually. It doesn't happen in one like, okay, and now this is a new thing, a new paradigm. Mm-hmm. So eventually we find each other in situations where before they were more like my students or people that I'm guiding through territory that is new to them. They become more like collaborators, and I start even paying them sometimes. So I've been handling those kinds of shifts more, with more skill. But right now I'm in a place like that where some of my group members used to pay monthly dues to me. And they have grown to be more like collaborators that actually I paid for some of their skills as performers, or we barter about like them contributing their brilliances and not paying dues. However, that's one of my weaknesses. I've not ever like explicitly talked about it with during during the shift, which is gradual, I don't explicitly discuss the change in the container and the energetic exchanges. So when things shift again, like for example now, those kinds of contributions that they would give towards our work won't be there for, they won't be needed for a while. So it's very hard for me to ask back for a monetary contribution in forms of dues to them. And I know that what I would be giving them would be valuable. They will learn new things, new skills that they appreciate, that they desire to have. And I still find myself being scared to ask for it, because in the past, I have that flashback memory that ended up actually breaking my choir 15 years ago.
Because of all of this.
Because of, yes, people had become skilled enough to want to have much more of a leadership role in a container that I didn't know how to handle, and I didn't think it was appropriate in the extent that they wanted to.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not sure that the process we're talking about today and the impulse piece is the right way to go with this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is great that you're bringing it up, because it, you know, we can kind of talk this through so everyone can kind of see when it may not be appropriate, because there is this past experience that's happened. But I guess what I want to know about the past experience is, so if you were to go back to a moment in the past, when mm-hmm. Is there a specific moment?
Yeah, there are a couple.
Okay. And when you think about that moment or the few, was it just kind of sadness that things were falling apart? Not just, sadness isn't just, right? But was it grief, sadness, or were there unexpressed parts of yourself?
There were definitely unexpressed parts of myself. I think this is what resonated in the previous conversation you just had, the previous piece of coaching. And the unexpressed part of me was anger. Anger and the feeling of being deeply disrespected and unappreciated and unseen for everything that I had done. Yes. To educate these people to the point where they're capable.
Yes. Okay, great. So I'm going to stop you from there. Yeah, so this is great. So yes, so then this would be a great process to use to go back to those moments where either you would see what would want to come up. It might be that the anger comes up. And because more than one impulse can come up, it might be that you speak to your value and all, right? Like you get to express all that you've given and all that you're continuing to give and speak, like who knows, but I would say, yes, that would be, and if you're practicing with somebody in the group, or if not, I bet you'll have a volunteer. I would have someone hold that process, you know, go through that process with you and see what wants to come through. And then from there, give yourself and work with the coach that works with you some very specific next steps on the current situation. And from a consulting point of view, what I would say is one, I would guess and suggest that one of those specific outer next steps is to put in place a conversation about when the relationship changes and the mm-hmm. container changes, and to speak to it explicitly.
Mm-hmm.
And to what is involved in that, right? And the different pieces. But anyway, that's more of a next step solution. But I love that you're bringing this up. And it's a great example of this didn't happen when you were 3 or 6 or 16. It happened in the past. But as an adult, it sounds like there would be value in going back to that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Good. I hope you work on it. It sounds very meaty and juicy.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for suggesting. I don't have a current coaching partner that we are.
Even if you post in the group, just see if somebody wants to help you with this one thing. I have a feeling, right? Someone wants to practice the process. You might even get some volunteers right now. Yes. You could use as much practice as possible.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome. Yes. If anybody wants to, please, I'll put it in the chat right now.
Yeah. Thank good. You. Good. Good. Wendy. Yeah, I think the demo went out via email, but I'll make sure. I was just assuming that they put it in the member center as well, but I'll make sure that they put that extra demo in the member center as well. Anyone else want to share what's been moving through, questions that you have, or what you might need, or if you want to look at that with me right now, what you might need so that you are willing to go out and practice this technique. Any other thoughts, questions, or anything that you need around it? This has been such a great conversation today. Yeah, Inbal.
Sorry, my camera is weird. I think I'm bummed that with my practice person, we had like 2 sessions that were canceled, and then we had one on Sunday that I canceled just because I needed space to rest and recover. So I haven't had a chance to practice because I don't really have the clients to practice with. So I think it's just like, just to say like, it's like how important it is. And I think this is kind of like a general question, but also related to this is that I really feel the like anxiety around time and getting into it and having enough space in a session. Like, cause I think some of what I'm seeing that I need to improve is like, and part of it is like, especially with this particular client, like how long it takes to get to like what it is that we're looking at, you know, and then having time for discussion for the process.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. What, wait, maybe not. Are you talking?
Yeah, no. It's just that it's like the, not even setting up for the process, but even getting to like, is this a situation where we can use the process? Because there's so much like, even to focus.
I see. Okay, this is a good question. And I think, right, there's a lot of different ways you can go with it. I'm going to share a couple of thoughts. So first, this is the easiest, if possible, is if you're feeling the anxiety with time around this process and the time it takes, you know, all the things you described. If you're working with a client on a current situation and you sense that this process can be used, maybe don't use it on that particular session. Do whatever else you're going to do on that session, a different kind of process or conversation or whatever, but share with them about this. and see if on your next session you can add an extra 15 minutes or whatever it is. And just do it like that, right? Just feel like you need more time, have more time. There are certain situations with certain clients, not necessarily with this process, but just in general, every now and again, I'll say to a client, hey, on our next session, do you have an extra 15 minutes? Because I want us to get through blah, blah, blah on blah, 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 right? So there's no, that is one very, so long as you have the time and you feel that that is an okay exchange for you to give that time, that's one option. From there though, as I think we spoke about this at our last retreat, maybe not, but you know, there's some clients, as we all know, that, like need to do a lot of talking and give a lot of context and all the details, and it takes time to, right? And then there are other clients that don't. And then for the clients that are very talky-talky and all the things, sometimes it's appropriate to let them because that is their way of processing. But other times it is also very appropriate to say, hey, I want to stop you here. I know that what you're sharing is important. And of course, if we had 2 hours for this session, I would want to hear every single detail. But because I know you said to me that you want to receive X for today, I want to shortcut us a little bit. You know, there might be some ways of doing that as well. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I mean, it might be a two session thing.
Exactly. And that's fine, right? We don't have to finish all the work in one session. Sometimes, and one other little piece I'll add to that is if that ever comes up for me, and I know I'm not meeting with the person for another 3 weeks, if we can both like reschedule that for a little sooner, then we'll do that just to kind of keep it in the flow. Good. All right. Anything else that wants to be shared or spoken or asked around this?
Kim. I was at a Hay House event listening to this woman talk about rescripting your past lives. And I thought, oh, this is cool. I could do the journey thing with past lives. So I just did it on myself with, you know, the whole burning at the stake thing that I think most of us can relate to. So I just thought that was a cool thing to do.
I'm so glad you're bringing it into the conversation. We can do this on past lives. Our next retreat, I'm so excited for our next intensive. We're going to be looking at dreams and archetypal images. We can actually apply this process to dreams that we've had as well. There's lots of different ways we can apply it. So it is really, really cool to do that. Okay. Well, we have a couple minutes left. We may end early, but before we do, and I almost stopped myself because I don't want to be annoying, but I will keep on saying this because I think we all just need to remember again, breakthrough to transformation, right? So just a couple, we've looked at it already today, but just a couple of other pieces on this for now. So first of all, for us as practitioners, you learned a new technique. That's a breakthrough, right? To learn a new technique, to start to practice it. If you want a transformation around it, like deeper mastery, bring that breakthrough of the learning the technique to it. Practice, right? Continue to practice it with others here in this group, with clients, ask questions. If this is a technique that resonates for you, continue to work it, right? Continue to work it. Number two on breakthrough to transformation. as Deva, you know, as we saw through Deva's share, outside of the process, one of the really important pieces in this is for us to start accepting, reclaiming, owning, cherishing all of our impulses. And I could feel at our retreat a few weeks ago that you were all really starting to feel this in a deeper way and the importance of this in a deeper way. So if you want to bring that breakthrough to transformation as you move through your daily life, ask yourself, maybe journal sometimes, what were impulses that I squashed today, right? Which is essentially asking yourself, what are parts of me that I denied today? Because I thought they were shameful or unacceptable or not safe enough or whatever it is. I'm not telling you to go and act on them, right? But I'm asking you to acknowledge them and to love on them and to love that they are a part of you. And maybe then a next question after that is, what are aligned ways that I can express that impulse over the next day or two? And then finally, breakthrough to transformation. We looked at homework with clients, but I want to also just bring you all back to whatever came through for you when you got coached in our last retreat. What was the new feeling? What was the new impulse? How are you nurturing this for yourself? Have you been coming back to it? Can you come back to it? Work with it. Any thoughts or questions on any of that? No? Okay. Yeah, Michelle.
I don't really have that much to say, except although I haven't had a chance to practice with my clients, I've talked about the technique with three clients. And I just find even just doing that, like, because I'm framing it now for when the moment arises. So I'm being strategic and also like using the time and get them kind of excited about it. And there's one client who I'm just she's actually not a coaching client, but she's like, I want to do this. So we just have to set up a time, but I have two of my coaching clients who I'm just like waiting for the moment. But I explained it so that they're excited about it. But
love that you're framing it. That's great.
And also just how that like takes a lot of the pressure off that to say, you know, I just want to share this technique. I'm so excited about this. And I think, you know, when the time is right and just like even to share it and then you get the details. So then when the moment comes, you refresh their memory, but you've sort of, I've kind of gave an example and like, wow. And we kind of like just talked about it, kind of just had a conversation. So I find the value of, even if I didn't get a chance to do that. And then it's also just sharpening, just having gone through it in our practice, just in my coaching, it's just sharpening my listening.
Yes.
So, so even
for
if I'm
what, where my, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. In general. So it's really valuable. Thank you.
I'm so glad. I can't wait for you to practice too when the time is right. Kelly.
I'm taking so much away and I really appreciate all the questions and your responses. I think one question that keeps popping in was a little bit related to something that popped up in the keynote before. I was talking about patriarchal system, and then before we moved into befriend your fear, and I was talking about following impulse. I don't even know if we've done this one yet. And so somebody, you know, like resistance in the back of the room is like, yeah, but you can't just go around following any impulse. and we had a really nice discussion about that, but it's kind of stuck in the back of my mind. And then this morning, like driving to school, my kiddo and I are talking about neurodiversity and like why so many kids are medicated and like how much sort of repression of impulse there is. And I'm sitting here talking to my 13-year-old trying to figure out, like, so where do we go? Like, how do you, and I think for people who have managed impulse so much throughout their lives, including myself, like how to get to the place where it is safe, but it is also within the realm of acceptable. Cause I've also seen people kind of go to the place of like really, you know, going towards impulse.
That's when it's deep shadow. Like when we get to our shadow retreat, right? There's so much around that. So that's what first steps are: owning, loving, accepting. Always owning, loving, accepting. When we can own and love and accept any part of ourselves, then we can make the best decision on what to do next with it. Mm. That is for our benefit and everybody else's benefit.
Yeah.
But we actually can't make that best decision when we're repressing it or pretending it's not there or just deciding that it's shameful.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah. Good question. Inbal.
I just wanted to acknowledge like this and the shadow work. Like there's so many times in the last 10 days that just like recognizing like the impulses are healthy and natural, and there's a distinction between that and acting on it. And I really think it's like it's world saving for us to like this work. And yeah, I feel, and like, you know, to find people who can appreciate that and be okay with it, just with the truth.
Yes. Yes.
Of that.
Thank you for saying that. I get chills as you say it. It rings so true in every part of my being. Yes. Deva.
Yeah, I'm just taking so much away from this call and how valuable this work is, and feeling really inspired to do more one-on-one offerings with people. And I just started my 5-month immersion last Saturday and have a really beautiful group. And I can already see how your suggestion for doing this immersion differently in bringing in more of the coaching. The first session was just felt like such a tight container and the most divine group. There's 14 people in it. And I feel like I would love to open it to these particular individuals to offer one-on-one sessions. And I'm just curious because there's people like in Nashville and Canada and Florida and, you know, and then in California, what, like, because I'm more used to doing group stuff, like what is the range of like coaching costs? I mean, I imagine it's quite vast, but if you have like a suggestion of what you would charge, and again, recommended if like a 50-minute session, or just so that I have a little bit more of a parameter to put this out to this group.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's getting a little bit out of the scope of what we're looking at now. So I'll give you a couple of things, but we can always continue. I'm actually going to say a few things, give you homework, and then we'll come back on it. So as you all know, if someone is in a group with me, if they want to do privates or a private, I do like to give them a special rate that's different than if someone wasn't doing a group with me, just as an honoring of you've already made an investment. And so, you know, if you want extra support or whatever, here is some special rates. So that's one thing I would also just say is it might look different for the people in that group versus someone else. And if you're looking to do this technique that we're talking about in particular, I'd say have that session be more than 50 minutes for all the reasons we've been talking about. Like give it an hour 15 in case you need it, or even an hour 20, you know, just a little bit longer. And then in terms of the rate, you're right, there is such a range, but I would ask you what feels right for you for that kind of energy exchange.
Yeah, I've offered this, the immersion, to over half of the people at a scholarship rate, because I just wanted it to fill and have the people there who were called to do it, and not have it be financially exclusive, or, you know, I just wanted to make it available. So with that in mind, yeah, I'm having this like, okay, I've already offered a bit of a discount for the majority of the people. And maybe I'll offer the individual sessions on a sliding scale as well, and just acknowledge, like, we're in different parts of the country. We have different resources.
I love that. And it'll give you more practice on this new thing that you're learning. So it's,
I do it as well. I'm like, okay, I'm really getting, doing this for myself to get the people.
That idea of that. And so if you think about what you want that sliding scale to be, and if you have any, if you want me to just like look at those numbers, I'm happy to, but I think you're absolutely on the right track.
And if anyone wants to put in the chat, like, what their rates are, it would just help me get an idea of what people are charging out there.
Yeah. Great. Thanks. I'm so excited that you're going to do this, Deva. Okay. So before we wrap, first of all, I would love for everybody to walk away from this session with, ideally with one outer action and one inner action, as we've been talking about throughout the last half hour, right? What is one outer action for you that you'd like to take next? And then what is one inner piece that you want to work on and nurture, whether it's this process or through Befriend Your Fear or something else, right? But since that's, I've been trying to come back to this transformation, moving it to transformation piece. So what's an inner and an outer action that you're really feeling inspired towards from this call? And just as a teaser for when we meet as a group next, I cannot wait for our next intensive in November. It is going to be so good. So good. A reminder, we looked at this at our last retreat, but a reminder, if you have dreams, write them down, bring them to our time together. We're not only going to be looking at dreams, by the way. We're going to be looking at archetypal images. We're going to be working with divination decks, but not as divination. We're going to be looking at divination decks through a Jungian lens. I just can't wait to spend that time with you. I also know that I'm going to be seeing some of you later this week for Secrets to Transformational Group Programs. If you're going to be there, I can't wait to see you. I'm excited to share that experience with you. It's still not too late to invite friends if you want to. So just a reminder for that, and always my appreciation. If there's anything you need at all, you know I'm always around. I'm thinking about you, and I'm sending you love. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.